Does Christian McCaffrey have to be his old self for the 49ers to win a Super Bowl? Welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perl, not shockingly, got some glowing comments here from teammate Kyle Juszczyk about McCaffrey, telling The Athletic that he's the best player in the NFL, arguably the best player in the NFL, and that he looks amazing. So we're expecting a fully healthy Christian McCaffrey. And, you know, the one thing about the 49ers, obviously the offense looked way different, not just without him last year, but without Brandon Ayuk and with, you know, guys working back from injury all over the offense. But do they need him to be like an MVP type candidate like he was 2 years ago for them to get to the Super Bowl?
Okay. With the caveat that I was completely wrong about Saquon Barkley upping the Eagles game last year, this can't be true. Like the Niners obviously almost won a Super Bowl without Christian McCaffrey in 2019. If I look at the Niners, the number one and two problems, one, the defense has been descending for the last 5 years. Two, their special teams was awful last year. I think that they just paid their quarterback $50-something million. They've drafted nothing but first-round receivers. They have a Hall of Fame tight end. Do you really need Christian McCaffrey to put this offense on his back? That seems messed up to me.
I think they do, though, because I think it's McCaffrey's ability to run the ball, but also in the pass game. I think Kyle Shanahan, there's a reason why they, in some ways, I don't say overpaid, if that's possible for Christian McCaffrey, considering his injury history and where he was. You know, they got so close to your overtime in the Super Bowl, where he also was not 100% in that game. And had he been, maybe they are actually the Super Bowl champions and it's not Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce 2 years ago. So I think it is. He's just one of those players with this type of team where it almost feels like you could have every other thing around you is going to be okay. And he's like that missing kind of special sauce. And I know they didn't have him. They had Mostert, what was it, in 2019? Was he their starting running back in that Super Bowl?
They've always been a committee. And Breida, I think, was there. They've always been committee.
But if it's so easy to replace him, then how come they couldn't do that last year?
Because the last couple of years, they've churned through 20 guys. Like, remember, Isaac Garendo got in there. He got hurt. Patrick Taylor got hurt.
Yeah.
There was a guy who's on another team now who got hurt. I'm not sure exactly what happened. But to me, I understand. I totally understand what you're saying. But isn't Robert Saleh coming in like in a way a bigger deal, like getting that defense back to where it was? He's the highest paid defensive coordinator in football. I feel like Nick Bosa is also a big part of the story. Like, they need to be ferocious again. They need to go after the other team's quarterback. I don't think it's just that Christian McCaffrey is going to be back and healthy and everything's going to work out. I think there's a much bigger team issue going on here.
Well, okay, but I know Robert Saleh is a well-respected defensive coordinator. Didn't work out so well with the Jets, as EJ will gladly talk to you about at any time of the day. But they lost a lot on defense, too. That's the place where they've taken some major hits. Now, you could say, all right, these guys were getting hurt and they need to get rid of, or it was better to get rid of Dre Greenlaw or Hufanga. Charvarius Ward was different. He had a very personal thing and a reason why he wanted to leave the city, which I completely respect. But
I think Saleh came in, looked at the tape and said this whole defensive line stinks and got rid of all of them. Like, he got rid of like Javon Hargrave or whatever, because he came over from the Eagles. Like, that was a terrible signing. I think Saleh is like, well, look at these guys weren't doing anything last year. They were totally tepid. So I think he wisely kind of got rid of a bunch of guys and is bringing new guys in.
Injuries too. You know, Greenlaw, Hufanga, those guys had been injured quite a bit.
Right, but some of their biggest moves were on the defensive line, and they kind of just gutted that whole thing and starting over. Hufanga, how often is that guy out on the field?
Well, that's
and Greenlaw, too, so that can't be the difference.
Okay, well, the Denver Broncos are excited about it, and they're adding to a defense that people think is pretty ferocious. But you're going to be really potentially relying on two draft picks, two rookies along that defensive line in Collins and Alfred Collins and Mykel Williams, right? Right now are slotted in to be starters. No one's ever really – they haven't done anything.
But, I mean, listen, you have – how many Hall of Famers are on that defense? You have definitely Bosa and Fred Warner. I guess that's it. But you also have
Deandre
Lenore, a good player.
He just got paid.
Yeah, I mean, like, you should have enough talent there to be ferocious again. Because if the rookie, Mykel Williams, is really good, you have him and Bosa on one side with Warner patrolling the middle. Like, I don't know that these losses to me don't bother me. I think that if you look, also forget about Christian McCaffrey. You just paid Brock Purdy all this money.
Yeah.
You drafted Brandon Ayuk in the first round. You drafted Ricky Pearsall in the first round. George Kittle, you just signed to an extension, I believe. Like, you have so many names and talent on this team. I don't think like you're really depending, and I know it's probably true, but you're really depending that much on Christian McCaffrey? That seems messed up to me.
Well, this goes back to, and obviously we're talking about the 49ers, this goes back to Brock Purdy. Because, yeah, you did pay him all this money, but you're asking Brock Purdy to elevate the offense? Is that what he's actually being paid to do? He may not have that ceiling. He's a good quarterback. I'm not here to totally, you know, rain all over Brock Purdy's parade. But him being able to hand the ball off and him being able to dump the ball off to McCaffrey and get the ball out quickly, considering he's a smaller guy who is good but not elite, but he's getting paid like an elite quarterback. Like, this is why, to me, McCaffrey is even more important than ever, because we know that Purdy and Ayuk have a good connection, but it happens a lot of times because the McCaffrey yards are just so easy in a Kyle Shanahan offense. You get the easy ones. Look at what happened last year when Brock Purdy didn't get anything easy. They won six games. Now, and now he's making more money than ever. But the one saving grace, I think, for the 49ers is that bad season last year helped set them up for basically the easiest schedule, according to some metrics, this season. So are they going to get a couple gimmies? Sure, but that's also not where the 49ers are being judged. You know, we talk about the easy schedule, and yeah, they'll probably be a playoff team because of that if they stay healthy. But who is judging Kyle Shanahan outside of a Super Bowl at this point? Or the 49ers? And that's how it should be. Their absolute goal has to be, it's like a Super Bowl or bust team that just is coming off a bad year.
I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. Remember, 2019, they make the Super Bowl. Next year, everybody gets injured. My guy Nick Mullins is in there trying his hardest, but there's no one to throw to. And they're terrible. The next year, they come back. They're 10-7, and they get to the brink of a Super Bowl because they're such a tough team in the playoffs. They have so much playoff experience. They remember, they lose. That was the year that Jaquiski Tart dropped the interception. They should have beaten the Rams in that game.
Yep.
We can all agree on that. And they were barely a wild card.
That was Rams-Bengals Super Bowl.
So I think the Niners get into the playoffs. And I know everybody criticizes Kyle Shanahan. Like, I think that's a team you don't want to see in the playoffs. And they're dangerous in the NFC. I think that's the kind of year. I don't think they're going to be dominant like the, you know, 2 years ago where they're going to be 14-3. I think that they get in as a wild card and are really dangerous. Because think about it, like Kyle Shanahan, his playoff record is amazing. I know he doesn't win the big one.
Well, he's got a couple glaring, massive moments, starting with him as the offensive coordinator with the Falcons 28-3, and then having a lead over the Chiefs in 2019, and then having a lead in overtime.
He's 8-4 in the playoffs. That's like very, very good.
Sure.
That's a Hall of Fame level, easily. So I think they're going to be a tough team.
But that doesn't tell the story. Sometimes the numbers tell the story, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, but you enter a wild card game against that team, I would not feel confident. That's my point. Like, they have a lot of history in the playoffs. And he's definitely, I know people like to rip him. I think he's a really good coach. And if Saleh is what they hope Saleh is, I think they paid all this money for special teams in the offseason. I think they're a very dangerous team in the NFC.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. EJ, can we throw that up on the poll as well? Does Christian McCaffrey need to be an MVP candidate for the 49ers to be a Super Bowl, you know, to win the Super Bowl, I guess? I mean, it's a contender. What are we doing here? You know, there's certain teams that are just the elite of the elite where it's Super Bowl or bust. I'm looking at, and let's zoom out for a second. How many teams, I feel like more than usual, have this sort of Super Bowl or bust, like it would be a huge disappointment if they don't win the Super Bowl. I'm talking about Detroit, the Buffalo Bills, Baltimore Ravens, 49ers.
Oh, I'm already not following you.
Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, you have the three teams in the AFC are always the three final teams. It's the Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills.
What about the Bengals? We're just going to let the Bengals off the hook
here? Are they even favorites to make the playoffs this year? No, the Bengals are not in that mix, in my opinion. There are three in the AFC. And then, are you really saying that, what was the last team? San Francisco was not Super Bowl, Russ.
What are we doing? Why are we doing this? You're moving the goalposts.
I think they just signed Brock Purdy to a five. I think they think their window is open for a while now.
But that's fine. But you pay Brock Purdy, you're expected to win.
Yeah, but I think the bar is lowered a little bit after last year. Like, if they made it, they made it to the Super Bowl again or NFC title game, I don't think we're going to look at their season as a failure.
Yes, we would and should.
The Niners?
Yes, because look at it. Now they are going to be coming back all healthy. You are starting with this, you know, you've got the good mix of the young guys and the veteran guys. Gave George Kittle more money. If McCaffrey's healthy, you still got Trent Williams. Like, yes.
You do not have a good mix of the old guys and the young guys. You have old guys and more old guys.
Ayuk's not old.
Ayuk's coming off an ACL.
Pearsall's not old.
Pearsall got shot. No, I just think that you don't have any. You basically, like, you're really old. Warner's kind of old. Bosa's old. Kittle's
Warner's
old.
Warner's not old. He's not even 30. Is he?
But Warner's definitely on the, I mean, for that position, I think he's...
He's 28. What are we doing? You're not old, I don't think, until you're 31 or 32.
They got to be, I don't know, their total roster, like their starters have to be on the old side.
I don't know, Nick Bosa's 27. I feel like these guys are in their prime. I don't think that they're old.
It's EJ, funny. I've
put
used
that
them
on
as much
the
older.
Brock Purdy's not old. It's not like they're out there throwing out some aging vet quarterback who's limping, you know, on one leg.
But let's get this list right here. You're saying the three AFC teams, take them out immediately. Of course, Baltimore, Kansas City, and Buffalo.
We're talking about teams where the expectation is to win the Super Bowl.
Then I would say the Eagles.
Yeah, repeat.
And I would say
Detroit, definitely.
The expectations are to win the Super Bowl, but I think everyone's a little bit down on the Lions because they lost their coordinators. So
that's I don't think so.
You don't think that? I mean, it's not going to be like last. To me, it's not going to be quite the hype of last year.
Oh, I think they are.
You think people?
You're right there.
I hate to pierce semantics, but I think you guys view Super Bowl bust differently, which is why you're not seeing eye to eye here. Because I think what Perloff is saying is, I don't think this team is good, so therefore there are not Super Bowl expectations. Where I think those individual teams are coming into the season and they are saying to themselves, if we don't win a Super Bowl, then this team is a waste. This season
was
a waste.
I'm talking more about the fan base. In my mind, I'm like, the Lions really need a Super Bowl, but I don't think the Niners fan base are like, man, this team we're putting out this year, if they don't win at all, it's going to be a massive disappointment.
Well,
because they're coming off such a bad season.
I know, but then if you're just going by fan base, we're talking about who actually has the expectations of Super Bowl champion, then you probably actually can't put your Eagles there because it's super hard to repeat.
Eagles fans are full of themselves. I think they think...
Okay, well, you don't get any grace period, I guess, as the reigning champs.
No, they're on a heater in their head now. I think their expectation is definitely Super Bowl.
Okay, well, I'll defer to you on that one.
But the funny thing about the Lions, and I'm not sure I'm right about this, I feel like the heat has cooled down a little bit. I feel like what happened last year and all the injuries, Hutchinson's coming back off a major, major injury, a terrible injury. So are we sure that they're as hyped as they are last year?
Yeah, because there was a possibility where Hutchinson could have come back in the playoffs. Like yes, it's an injury, but he's going to be totally healthy. And I know they lost their coordinators, but they have their players back. Like the team hasn't changed.
Yeah,
and still have their head coach. They paid Goff. 100% they've got Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, if not them in the NFC, besides the Eagles, and who? Like that's
Rams, Niners.
They're better than the Rams.
Who is better than the Rams?
The Lions?
They've beaten the Rams.
Yeah. But the Rams are right there.
They're a good team. I think Lions have more talent.
The Rams are ascending where the Lions were ascending, and then this ran into this massive injury bug. I mean, Ailey McNeil's coming off injury. I don't know. That's how I view the Lions. Like, I don't see them. They just lost Ben Johnson. That's not in anybody's mind here?
No.
I don't think it's in my mind in terms of whether or not they can actually do it, but I don't think it limits the expectations, right? Like, I don't think that lowers the standard for the Lions that because they don't have the offensive coordinator, therefore, okay, if you don't win a Super Bowl this year, you don't get there, it's okay. I think that still will be a disappointment.
No, definitely. Like, this is what happens with good teams. Your coordinators get poached. Did anyone say when Brian Daboll left the Bills, all of a sudden they're not a Super Bowl contender anymore? No, that's crap.
They weren't really a Super Bowl contender with him. No, I'm
they got the AFC Championship game. But still, I don't think that losing your coordinator, even for one as talented as Ben Johnson, can't be an excuse when your team is this much still intact.
I think that people are going to be making Super Bowl picks in August, and I think less and less media members will pick the Lions. That's how I would view it.
Okay, and by the way, not to make this a Lions thing, it started with the 49ers, but I've been saying the way the last two playoffs have ended have been bad for the Lions. and bad for Dan Campbell. And one was to the 49ers, so they had a lead in the NFC Championship game. And last year was disappointing to lose as a one seed in their first playoff game against Jaden Daniels and the Commanders.
Right.
Like, to your point, that you're making my point.
Which is what?
That Dan Campbell, like, has actually a lot of pressure here. Because if the expectations are already cooling off, then that means you're going in the wrong direction. That if you don't think that it's a disappointment if the Lions aren't winning a Super Bowl next year, then you are going backwards.
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
And that's not good for Dan Campbell. That shows that you're not trending in the right direction. Because, again, nothing has changed about your team. You still are stacked. So I think Lions have a lot of pressure. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476.
You know how the prediction game goes. You think that a lot of people are going to pick the Lions. I feel like most people are more like me and think, ooh, losing Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, that's not good.
Well, I don't care what the pundits have to say about it. Well, we're talking about the world of expectations,
not like reality. I think the hype, to me, again, maybe I'm totally wrong. I feel like the hype is down a little bit on the Lions after what happened last year. Because everybody got hurt. They got killed in their first playoff game. I just think it takes a lot of guts to say the Lions are going to figure that all out and win the Super Bowl this year. Because they've been, as you just said, they've been disappointing in the playoffs.
The one thing about the Lions that's going to be the toughest thing for them is the rest of the division. I mean, if you think that the Packers are ascending, I don't know what's going to happen with the Vikings with McCarthy. And if you think that the Bears are going to be a playoff team and they have Ben Johnson now, who is their former offensive coordinator, might know all their weaknesses.
That's a bit of a problem.
I'm not taking down the Lions a peg from a team that won 14 games last year. What was it? The number one seed in the NFC?
I think they won 15.
15? Pardon me.
I kind of like what you just said, though, too. That thing that Ben Johnson knows them so well and the Bears are ascending, that's a problem.
Bears, by the way, play them extremely well. I mean, they had them dead to rights on Thanksgiving before, Eberflus happened. And the previous year, they played them really tough.
And I think the Rams and Lions battle. They have close games.
Lions have some teams that can get after them. Commander showed that last year. The Bears have shown that. The one team that can't, ironically, has been the team in their division, the Vikings. That's the one team that, you know, who's been right there behind them that has not been able to sniff being able to compete with them.
I think everyone, honestly, I think a lot of people are going to pick the Eagles in the NFC, which is, you're right.
Chalky.
Yeah, I think that's the easy chalk this year. They're by far the biggest win total. They're the favorite. They're a young team where everybody's back. I feel like I don't know. I'd like to hear from other people. I feel like the Lions buzz just down a little bit. I mean, come on. They can't. There's nothing against Dan Campbell. Like, they couldn't even beat the Commanders last year.
I think the hot team is going to be the Commanders.
Like, the media pundits, second year quarterback.
There's always a team that people are trying to look for who the next team is.
Yeah.
The Commanders are going to be that team that everyone's going to pick if it's not the Eagles.
And everyone did that with the Houston Texans.
Yeah,
and they did it with the Lions last year.
The Broncos and the Chargers could be that second-year team, second year of Harbaugh, second year of Bo Nix. You're right. There's going to be an it team. We'll see. I mean, God, now you got me thinking. There's a lot of pressure on us, Maggie. We got to make Super Bowl picks.
I'm putting the house on the Niners because Christian McCaffrey, just a new father.
That's always good.
So new dad power. So bet the house on the Niners.
Colette, I think I saw the name.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. Cute name.
Colette, it's a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Colette McCaffrey. CMC?
A little forced.
Got to work quick.
Wait, how do you have a take on the name? You don't like that name?
Colette feels like you're trying way too hard.
You're trying too hard?
Colette, what is she? Is this a character in Les Mis? What are we doing?
That's Cosette.
Whoa.
Feels like they're trying less because it could have been Nicolette. They just dropped the N-I and now they're trying to do less and just name her Colette.
It's a bar.
I mean, Colette's a French name, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think you can judge people with a name. When people name their kids, I don't think you can judge them unless they do something weird like Apple.
That's French.
That's like, if you do like an inanimate object or food, I think you can judge. Otherwise, it's not.
Or food, because that's happening all the time.
Otherwise, it's not your place. It's like, oh, that's a name. Cool.
That's unfortunate for Brie Larson.
Didn't think about that.
Yeah, but that's short for something, though, right?
Aubrey. Is it?
I don't know.
Do you judge people by what they name their kids? Poll question.
Of course. Oh, absolutely.
I don't. She's Brianne, by the way.
Brianne.
Her last name's not Larson, either.
What?
Desalonniers?
Shocking. Somebody in Hollywood changed their name?
We've been led astray.
She has a cool name. Brianne Sydney, Brianne Sydney, and Sydney is spelled S-I-D-O-N-I, and D. Solniers.
Yeah, Brie Larson is just rolls a little bit better.
that was a must-change situation.
Brianne D. Solniers is pretty cool.
Yeah, sure.
You can barely pronounce it.
That's what makes it cool. I mean, she doesn't sound like, I mean, she's from Sacramento. That doesn't sound like a Sacramento chick. That sounds like a French model or something.
You judge parents, Pearl, when they name their kids something out of the ordinary?
I mean,
or just anything?
Everybody's named the same exact thing of my kids. Like, there's like four names that everybody chose from.
Yeah. Things got real popular around when your girls were.
I have an Emma, and there's like 17 Emmas in our class. And you're a Lucas. There's at least 47 Lucases in my Brooklyn elementary school. No offense.
Yeah. No, it's funny. When we're on the playground, it's like, and someone calls out, like, Lucas, and four moms are just what?
The Old Testament had a day around 2015.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
Actually, is Lucas Old Testament, New Testament?
No, it's not. It's not Old Testament. Luke is a New Testament.
Mm-hmm. I got it. Sure.
Okay. Are the 49ers a playoff contender if Christian McCaffrey's not 100%? Is the expectation for the Lions Super Bowl or bust? I'm shocked you and I don't see that the same way. What are we doing? And do you judge parents when they name their kids weird things? 888-710-4ISN. Lots more to do, including we're helping people on this show. Helping certain people find love. And it looks like it's possible we may have a love connection. Got that next.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie, you had an interesting tease.
Yeah.
There's a love connection in the air, possibly?
I'm hopeful. This is actually not me. This is EJ's, the one who's really making things happen here, as the executive producer of the show.
Then there's a chance.
Because Maggie
does not know how to do this. I mean, you know how to do it for women. I don't know how. Women generally, whenever they want to set up a man, it's already bad. I'm just going to tell you right now, because I think I know where EJ's going, and I'm cynical.
All right.
Cynical already.
I know.
I will guarantee pretty much, I'm not going to say on my children's life, but definitely on my life, this is not going to work
out. Well, that's just because you get to play the odds. Like,
a lot of pressure.
And I know that one of the two people involved.
Okay. Hold on. So everyone knows, we've been listening to this show for any amount of time, we've been trying to find a girlfriend for Manny.
Ugh.
Now, Manny can find... I'm not worried about you finding a hookup. This is, in this day and age, you got the internet.
I'm worried about that.
Okay, well...
Yummy.
I'm not worried about that. We already know something went down upstate. But that didn't lead to something long-term. We're looking for a love connection, and it turns out EJ Stewart may be holding the keys. Ooh. Go ahead, EJ.
Well, listen, we talked about it last week, and, you know, we're talking about Manny trying to find love, as Manny's eyes are piercing through the side of my skull as he's looking at me, because he doesn't know anything I'm talking about right now.
Is she here today?
Cecilia.
So Maggie mentioned, like, wait, why? How come we can't get Andrea to help out? And of course,
EJ's fiance.
You know, Andrea was like, well, that's challenge accepted. You know, this is what she does, right? She's always looking for an opportunity to find somebody for one of her little friends, as she likes to call them. So she reached out to one of her close, you know, colleagues at work and said, hey, let's think about some of the young people at the office and who may be interesting for one Manny Rodriguez. And they think they may have found someone.
Okay, so not only that, EJ did a little production work on this because Manny had to be vetted by this young woman. We're not going to name her.
Well, yeah.
She just didn't ask for any of this yet. You had to find some greatest clips of Manny on the show to send to this woman so that she could get a look at the goods. Well, and she still interested.
To be clear, so I had to clarify with Andrea. I had to send it to Andrea for Andrea's friend.
Because
Andrea, I think, is close. I mean, Andrea's friend's closer to this girl than Andrea is.
All right, got a middleman. That's fine.
Andrea knows her very well. They work together. So she was like, I need to see this guy before I send this guy to my friend.
Oh, okay. The middleman needs to vouch for her.
And then she was very much immediately was like, oh, yeah, I approve.
Manny!
So, and then what I was told was that the young woman is quote-unquote open.
Now we're open to it.
How long have you guys been cooking this up in the kitchen without telling me?
This happened yesterday.
All weekend.
So, like, into open relationships?
open to being set up is what I was saying.
Oh, like, I found her, and she's a freak.
When you said this young woman is quote unquote open, I'm like, what? Well, here we go.
Especially Perloff.
I don't know, Manny, if you can handle this.
Challenge accepted.
All right. Summer love, guys. It's only July 14th. We got plenty of time for a Manny summer romance.
I'm giving this plus 700 that it works out.
What does work out mean for you, though?
I can make
engage.
Come on, Pearl.
No, boo this man. That's not the.
No,
that's
the Lions have Super Bowl expectations. This is a couple days.
Yeah, Manny's not have Super Bowl expectations here. Come on.
What happens if this lady is Manny's date for your wedding, EJ?
Well, that's an extra plate I got to pay for. So.
All right.
Also, we got a year.
We're now on Perloff's side.
That's one thing I thought about. I was like, is this someone who we would have already invited to the wedding or not? Because that means I'm spending some money on this now.
Dipping into my pocket. EJ, or you could expense it.
EJ, what would your definition be? What's a reasonable compromise here?
They date for a while.
Summer.
Yeah, even if it's not like a full-blown relationship. Oh, you date for a little while, and it's cool. You have your fun. And then after everything gets broken off,
and I have to see her at EJ's wedding in a year and a half, whatever that may be.
No, I won't.
We get a separate camera crew.
I would never do that to you.
It has to last maybe longer than Tom Brady and Sofia Vergara. How about that?
That's over already?
No, it has to last longer than that to be a success. Because we know they're just having a summer fling because TMZ told us.
I would get in trouble.
What's she look like?
Generally, when a woman sets up a guy, she tries to, this is not knowing anything. In my experience, she tries to, I'm not going to say it.
You're going to say pawn off
someone who's not quite as attractive. And I know nothing about this woman.
Okay. Well, let's not jump to conclusions on anything.
I said generally that is often happens.
I have more positive follow-up questions. Now, is Andrea a full-time yoga instructor? So is this girl a yoga instructor or a yoga?
No, because Andrea does yoga and she does marketing.
Okay.
So this is on the marketing. Pretty good. This is on the marketing side.
All the hot chicks
pretty
are
good.
Marketing.
Yeah, so that's
good. And yoga.
And then there's money there, just being honest.
Okay. Oh. Little sugar mama?
I mean.
Yeah, bro, I'm broke.
Don't say that. We got to massage that messaging. That's not going to work.
What else should you not mention? Jalen Brunson, video games.
Yeah, save the Jalen Brunson and the college football video game for date two.
Buffalo State.
Go Bengals.
But I feel like when women are setting people up, they're more focused on personality, personalities meshing together.
And I have the personality of a white wall.
Ooh. But I think first date men always look at it much more surface to start out. It starts out completely surface with men. They just want to know, is she attractive?
Sure.
Women want to know so much more. And that's why I've always found those kind of setups to not always be successful.
Listen, she already needed to take a look at Manny. So she was looking surface too. And she said she's open to it.
Yeah, I know she is.
Well, okay. I mean, what's Manny doing?
But you just ignored my whole thesis.
How about this? I don't know what she looks like, but maybe you get pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
And that's a reason to go on the date.
100%.
Also, Manny, your prospects are not really great right now.
Oh, no.
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying.
Manny's also open.
You should be.
No, Manny's prospects are fine. He's not tied down. He's employed. He's got a cool mustache. What's wrong with Manny's prospects?
Well, I'm just saying he seems a little lonely.
Got a good left-handed swing.
That's true. Was a natural born right-handed as well.
Looking for a little summer fling? Why not? Brady can do it. Why not Manny?
Hey, let me tell you something. I got my satisfaction this week in watching Lionel Messi score another brace. Wow, that guy can score a ball.
I know. Another thing you shouldn't say.
Those are my interests.
What, am I not just going to speak about my interests? I'm just going to sit there?
Your man crush should be left at home.
Just ask her a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Do you like Lionel Messi?
As much as I do.
What do you think about Ariel Huckporty?
What is the Knicks win total next year?
Do you think the Knicks should have fired Tom Thibodeau?
Over under 56 and a half.
So there you go. I'm excited about it.
Is she like the Knicks? She's not anymore. Is she like the Knicks?
I don't know anything about that.
How about this?
I was told she's fun and smart.
Ooh, open and fun.
Hey!
smart might be an issue, Manny.
Wait, was that supposed to be a good thing or bad thing?
Open, fun, dumb girl.
No, good. I told she was fun and smart.
And you're setting her up with Manny? I mean, Maggie started it by calling you lowly.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing that she's fun and smart. Can you try? Imagine your friend trying to hook you up with a friend with a person who's boring and dumb.
Yeah. She's boring and dumb. She's hot,
boring and dumb.
Sounds good.
The line would be around the corner.
When and where? I'll be there. Yeah. Would love to waste my time.
The trifecta.
Exactly. See, we're already getting into the territory that I'm talking about. When women are setting up their friends, they're like, she's smart. Guys don't care. I'm sorry. Like, on first dates. Eventually to marry somebody, of course. But, like, first dates, guys are very shallow.
I did ask just now, like, what she looked like. And that kind of question just kind of flew by. Nobody answered that question. So
she looks good.
Yeah. That's not a ring.
Good. EJ, have you seen it?
I've seen pictures. Yeah, I saw an Instagram. I saw an Instagram feed.
So she's cute. Feed.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Did
you become a soprano? Did you hear the voice go up?
Your voice went
that?
Up several octaves now, here.
No, I'm trying to be respectful. I'm trying to be respectful.
Also,
this is a friend of a friend, Andre's friend. I know very well. So like,
yeah.
I mean,
no, EJ's a good dude.
EJ can't be like, oh yeah, she's a 10.
That
would sound bad.
Relationship,
like, I met her first. Yeah, there's really almost no way to answer that question.
You're in a tough spot. Okay, so your voice did go up several octaves, but there's a reason.
So is she hot?
We can talk about that off air.
That's what I'm saying. She looks good.
All right. Well,
she looks good. What is this kid?
What do you mean? That's yeah.
All right.
She looks.
Let's let Bogish get the headlines. EJ, why don't you send us her information, Perloff and I will, and we can be honest with the audience. How about that?
Pat, no? I have to get Andrea involved. I hope she's awake. Because she gave me her phone. It wasn't like, here's her page, follow her, which I would have done anyway, because that was creepy.
Yeah, it was creepy.
Here's her Instagram feed, take a look.
Okay, also,
And I approved, because I said, hey, listen, I told Andrea, listen, you made me send four videos of my boy. Yeah. I gotta at least see what this girl looks like. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm not gonna just drop a grenade on him.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
she has all her fingers and toes.
Okay. Then I was like, okay. Here's what I say. I feel comfortable that I sent these videos with Manny after seeing her in his group.
Okay. Okay.
So maybe I should make this bet because EJ has seen her. Okay. Maybe I was wrong.
No, and I also don't want to get on Andrea's bad side. And we don't want to seem like we're being disrespectful to her friend because I haven't met Andrea yet. I'm excited to meet her at some point, and we don't want to come into this thing, you know.
Coming in hot.
Yeah.
You know, Maggie, like a bunch of jerks. How come you never set up Manny?
My friends are 40.
Yeah, and?
And we went down this road. It was my fault, and then Manny ruined
Jennifer Aniston, Sofia Vergara. We can keep on going.
Aniston's got a guy now.
Who cares?
Somebody's got to make Manny a man.
Yeah. I'm not going to get my... It's not a Herculean effort. I saddle my friends up. They've got they've got big jobs. They've got responsibilities. They're older.
Nice.
I feel like me and Bogues might know some divorcees.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's funny. There, for whatever, knock on wood, like in my circle of friends, there's not many.
Why do I keep this guy around?
I got a few.
I want my Odyssey coins back. You don't have any divorcees around you?
I don't.
Give me my 10 coins back.
I don't.
Yeah.
I have more single guy friends than girlfriends.
Well,
know of single girls.
How desperate are you?
Same. Do they like the Knicks?
I was thinking, dude, Manny be a good father, too. I mean, immediately. Like,
to a kid?
Yeah. If I introduce him to divorcee with an eight-year-old kid, like, that'd be great.
Barely gets himself to work.
I was joking.
No. I disagree with you guys. Manny, certified camp counselor.
That's right.
Be a great stepdad.
The children love Manny. Manny doesn't love the children, but the children love Manny.
I can see it.
Great stepdad. He'd have the kid on the couch watching soccer for 9 hours a weekend.
What do you think stepdads are doing?
I have a little Corona.
Take a sip, kid. It's all right.
Yeah,
I'm the stepdad.
That's how I grew up. Have a little sip here during a little Mexico against USA, and then all of a sudden...
I don't know what that means.
You sleep well.
I gotta tell you, I've met Manny's dad. A running commentary from Manny's dad during any sporting event is pure gold. Actually, you could bring the step kid to hang out with your dad, then you're set.
Yeah, I don't know if my dad wants the step kid.
No, I mean the step grandkid.
You're already enough.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Folks.
We talked last week about the best baseball managers of all time. Terry Francona's name came up, and now he is the 13th skipper all time with 2,000 wins.
There's an adjective for baseball lifer. It's me. I'm not overly smart. I'm a second semester freshman at Arizona still. I just love the game. Probably too much.
I got to stop this. This is Manny's pitch to the girl.
Yeah.
I'm not that great.
Not that smart.
I just love basketball and video games.
It's true. How many decades has Francona been trying this act
Infinity.
Out?
Infinity. Yeah, I'm like, all of them.
You broke a curse, man. Like, just you're
good.
You're a god.
Yeah.
The Guardians released a video celebrating, congratulating Tito on his 2,000th win. And the first few people, I hated them all. It was like Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz, and Francisco Lindor. I immediately closed that video.
Maggie, that's like we always joke about the '80s SNL skit, Caveman Lawyer. He's playing a caveman lawyer. What do I know? I'm just a bumbling idiot who just happens to manage teams.
Who could have backed into the Hall of Fame or just been, you know, red carpet rather into the Hall of Fame 10 years ago if I wanted to or more.
The baseball draft was last night in Atlanta, at least the first three rounds of it. The Nationals began things by taking Oklahoma High School shortstop Eli Willits. An even bigger surprise coming at number two when the Angels picked UC Santa Barbara righty Tyler Bremner.
The Gauchos.
Then came the two assumed top picks, LSU lefty Kate Anderson to the Mariners and high school shortstop Ethan Holliday to the Rockies. Seattle has already signed Anderson to an $8.8 million bonus. Oof. The Mavericks have reportedly shut down Cooper Flagg after just two summer league games. The second one better than the first, 31 points on Saturday against the Spurs. WNBA yesterday, first Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers showdown. Clark with 14 points, 13 assists, and 5 steals, and a 102-83 decision over the Wings. Beckers scoring 21 in the loss. Chelsea, a 3-0 rout of PSG to win the Club World Cup title at MetLife Stadium. Mm-hmm. And former NHLer Joe Pavelski won the celebrity golf event in Tahoe. John Smoltz finished second. Charles Barkley, 69th.
Whoa!
Back to you guys.
Nice, yeah. Okay, coming up, we have a big what if for you from sports for the weekend. We do that next.
I'm going to hell.
Hope you had a great weekend. Welcome to Maggie and Perloff Show. We got to get to a big sports what if in just a moment, Pearl. But EJ, from last segment where we're trying to set Manny up on a date with one of your fiance's coworkers, can I ask you a poll question? Or can you throw this up on the poll? Are you immediately skeptical when a woman tries to set you up on a date? Because I think that's what Perloff's getting at. Anytime a woman tries to do the setup, it's because, like, they're trying to pawn off one of their less appealing friends.
Well, yeah, but the man doing the setup is also not ideal. So, actually, I guess setups I'm down
you
with.
Just don't
but
trust.
Especially the woman. Yeah, I just feel like this happened to me a little bit single. It's like, oh, okay, this is there's more involved here.
I think it's different when it's someone your own age, though. Like, I get it if it's your friend's mom's trying to set you up with, you know, their daughter or something like that, where it's like there's this big age gap, which... But if it's Andrea's in her early 30s, Manny's in his late 20s, same. Anyway.
Oh, damn, late 20s.
Sorry, dude.
Wait till you get to your
late 30s. Oh. Okay. A sports what if. I'm sorry.
All right, yeah, go ahead.
Would you rather get to the finals of a Grand Slam and lose a close match, like a tiebreaker in the third set, or not win a game? Because that's what happened to Amanda Anisimova, who is a really great story from the United States. She's from Jersey, but obviously trained in Florida. She had to take a mental health break because she kind of burned out last year. Now she's back. She gets to the Wimbledon final. It's the first Grand Slam final. She lost 6-0, 6-0.
Yeah.
And she wasn't even close. What would you rather be? Would you rather be the person who just loses 6-0, 6-0, or a heartbreaker final where you're so close you can taste it and then it gets ripped away?
I guess I would rather lose a heartbreaker, but that's the worst. Losing tiebreakers is such pain. But 6-0, 6-0 is embarrassing. It's only happened, since 1911 was the last time, the final. But I'm all about her, by the way. I will bet more than Manny working out that she will be back.
See, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I was reading about her. Like, she's definitely like a huge roller coaster ride of her career.
Yeah,
and she's got a lot of talent. I think she got to the final of Wimbledon.
I know, but she, listen, I'm happy that she's been so open about her mental health struggles that she got over it, but maybe a little delicate mentally. What do you think is, you know, how does this impact her where you go to a Wimbledon final and you get completely embarrassed because you lost 6-0, 6-0, and she was just choking out there?
Yeah, I know, but she just beat Sabalenka to get there. Like, she's super talented.
Right, but we're talking about what happens now. Like, going to be such a setback?
No, see, that's the thing. Like, normally you could say, like, that's an even bigger question. Like, is that, you know, when you lose a heartbreaker, it's like you lost two games because you're not going to be present for the next game.
Mm.
She's going to take some time off, but I feel like, I don't know what it is about this particular player. I feel like she's going to be back, and she's going to be back in a final.
Oh, I don't think so.
You think this is it? This will break her?
No, it's not. Well, I hope it doesn't break her. You know, we're all like, I don't want her to go back into a bad spot where she had to take a break from the sport completely. But this is, it's, I mean, not just because you performed badly, right? And like, you didn't have your A game as an athlete. Like, that's got to be, but it clearly your mental got so in the way. You didn't even allow yourself to compete. And then you have to think on top of it, the embarrassment of it all. Like, I think this stays with her, and I don't know if we're, I do not think she's making the U.S. Open final, if that's the bet you want to make.
No, I mean, like, to make the next major final, I'm just saying, I think at some point she's back and competitive in a major.
Okay, well,
like, competitive, like, semi-final. Yeah, I think, like, she makes another final in her career.
Okay, but she was about to be a rocket ship, right?
No, like, she's 24. I mean, she was not a rocket ship at all.
No, but
she's
the
good.
Comeback.
But women's tennis is kind of erratic right now. Like, there's kind of new champions in every tournament, right? Except maybe Coco Gauff. So I think she has a great. I don't think this breaks her. I
hope it doesn't, but yeah. I'm dubious because I think this is a tough one to come back from. EJ, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah,
I mean, Mandy's been joking that the last time this happened, we were at war. It was World War One when this
1911.
It was right before World War One, basically. Like, World War One's 1914. We just did this old thing.
I'm surprised you guys even know when World War One was.
I mean, I didn't know. I thought it was a different time.
Listen, I'm not very smart, but U.S. history?
Dude, you're the one who is like you're like 2004. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's true. 2004 never happened.
So U.S. history of the last 10 years is what your
more
specialty
or less, yeah.
is?
Oh. Indubitably.
Cool.
I mean, I just feel like, to me, I worry about this woman, because you lose 6-0, 6-0. I think that comes with a level of embarrassment that a close heartbreaker doesn't. Like,
yeah.
You lose a close heartbreaker, you say, well,
You
can take more victory out of that. You can say, listen, I lost, but what a run. And, you know, I can hold my head up high. Like, I don't think you can hold your head up high losing, not winning a game in a final. Like, that's not getting swept. In like, do you hold your head up high that you made the finals and you got swept? If you're a baseball team or a basketball team or a hockey team.
The whole match took less than an hour.
I couldn't believe that. Like, I saw that. I saw the headline. I was like, this can't be right. I got the alert that she already won. And I was like, this also can't be right. It's mad early. I know it's England.
It's over.
This should have been like at least another hour or so.
Yeah, no. She could get it. She couldn't serve.
Yeah.
She was terrible. Yeah, no, she choked. And she admitted I was frozen. But, I mean, she did get to the finals of Wimbledon. Like, there's something there. And she's had kind of mental problems, mental competitive problems, honestly, like mental problems.
Yeah.
I don't know. I first of all, I'm rooting for her. And second of all, it's a long career ahead of her. I mean, she might have 4 or 5 more years of relevancy. I think that you can overcome this. I mean, I understand where you guys are coming from. It would break a lot of people. I think that she's an odd one. I have a friend who's a massive tennis fan. He's like, she's more talented than a lot of people. Like, a lot of people.
Okay, but talent is not what matters here the most. When she got to the finals, she couldn't even perform. That has nothing to do with talent. That's between the ears.
But then maybe next time she will be able to.
I hope so, too. That was tough. But Paul, would you rather lose 6-0, 6-0 in the final or a heartbreaker where you could taste victory and got snatched away from you? Coming up, we're asking you one big question about an NFL coach.